So, surreal times, and yet exciting too, because we're being asked by the church at this time to reimagine what it means to be church, what it means to be a follower of Jesus when we can't do things the way we've been accustomed to doing them. Our cozy comfort zones have been shaken and taken away. There is no service to attend on a Sunday to say that we've worshipped God. There's no home group to attend to tick the box about commitment to community. Our normal weekly routines even have been broken. And this can be a good thing if we work with it. Because our Lent series that we've been following is all about working on our discipleship journey, learning how to engage our heads and our hearts and our hands. And in order to be fully rounded followers of Jesus, and in the situation that we find ourselves in, it means that we have a perfect opportunity to really engage with this, to reflect and to rethink and to reposition ourselves as followers of Jesus. In our reading today, the Israelites are on the brink of something new and something different. Their whole world was about to change as Moses was preparing them to enter the Promised Land. The only life the Israelites knew was as nomads in the desert, when they had spent their whole life with God visibly travelling before them as a pillar of smoke or a pillar of fire, or residing in the tabernacle when they stopped, and having Moses to lead and to guide them and to be their hotline to God. And remember, other than Caleb and Joshua, every adult Israelite who had left Egypt had died by this point. Only the generation of children and those born in the desert were going into the Promised Land, and Moses wasn't going with them. And so Moses shares with them what they need to do in order to stay on track with God, in order to ensure that they continue to be followers, to be God's people, and to remain within his protection. In the previous chapters, Moses reminds the Israelites of God's provision since they left Egypt. In chapter 5, he outlines what we call the Ten Commandments, God's way of living, the way he calls his people to live. And remember that Jesus sums up those commandments into two: love God and love your neighbour as yourself. And here Moses is telling them how to live out those commandments when they move into this new situation. From verse 5, we heard, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So here in our reading, we're told again, it's about your head and your heart and your hands. Love God with all our heart, with all our souls, which could also be thought of as our intellect or our minds, and with all our strength, i.e. what we do with our body. Our hands are key to that. And in verse 8, tie the commandments on your hands and on your foreheads. These commandments, this way of life, loving God and loving our neighbour as ourselves, is to be so obvious that we can't miss it. You can't help but be reminded of what calls us to day in, day out, 24/7, if you like. Our hearts, our hands, and our minds all need to be engaged in loving God and loving our neighbours. And we are called to teach this to our children, and not just our children, but to everyone that we engage with. When we're at home, when we're walking down the road, when we lie down, when we get up, effectively wherever and whenever, sharing God, his way of life, demonstrating our love for him and for others needs to be shared with others as we do life together. What is important here is that we are to teach our children and to share it with others. Teaching God's way of life is not for the rabbis or for Sabbath worship. It was a continual thing. It was to be done in the family home, teaching and demonstrating it to our children. Children were to be taught at home and would see the truth in action as it was lived out within the whole family. And it's so true, isn't it, that children act so much more on what they see and experience than on what they are told. And my sister won't thank me for this, but I remember her oldest boy when he was little, and her children are much, much younger than mine. But when her oldest boy was really young and he got a toy phone as a present, and the very first thing that he did with it was he picked it up and he didn't put it to his ear. He picked it up and he started to text, because children do what they see us doing. And he had seen his mum texting on her phone. And so that's what he thought the phone was for. So we're called to live it out, to demonstrate it so that our children can see what we are doing. And it's not just our children, it's other people too. We need to see. People want to see what we're doing. It's not enough just to say. It's not enough even just to say, I'll pray for you. People want to see love in action. And these instructions are not a call for us to have a personal or a private faith. There's not room for that in there. It's about public confession, public demonstration, as we sit, as we walk, as we talk. So what does that mean for us as we get to grips with reimagining what it means to be church today? If you have children and you're not a key worker, then you are going to be spending an awful lot of time with your children in the coming months. And even if you are a key worker, there is no Sunday school. There's no someone else to teach your children about God. And so we need to start sharing what we know of God with our children. We need to be reading the Bible together, praying as a family, experiencing the goodness of God together, and sharing with our children, talking to them about what God is doing and has done. Why not take this time to start some new traditions? Engage in Jesus' heritage by starting to celebrate a Shabbat meal together, or establishing a way of worshipping as a family as you spend time together. And as I said, children learn by what we do. So how are you living out loving God and your neighbours? Do you have a regular worship time? Do they see you in personal prayer, in personal Bible study? If not, maybe they should. Think about sharing what you are doing, what you're doing at home. And if you don't do it, now is a really good time to start, because you've got that time. We're not doing the stuff that we would normally do. Our regular routines are curtailed. So expand what you're doing. Expand that time that you're spending with God and with each other in worship and in prayer and in study. And if you don't have children, because not all of us do, how's your worship life going? How's your Bible study life going? Use the extra time away from normality to engage with God, to practice prayer. There are so many resources available to us online, or if you want them written and you don't have them, if you email or call the office, we will make sure that we can get some to you. You just need to ask. And how are we loving our neighbours? Even if we can't get out, we can communicate by telephone, by email, by, you know, Skype and video calls, so that we can see people, checking on our friends, checking on our neighbours, making sure that they are okay. And if we can get out, Are we engaging? Are we ensuring that those who are worse off than us have what they need? Are we offering to help, sharing what we have with others, shopping for those who are unable to shop for themselves? There is so much fear amongst people, and we're seeing this in the panic buying and the response that people are having. Don't engage. Don't join in. Be different. We're called to be countercultural. Be willing to share with others. As I said, I'm indoors, and one of the things that I was running really low on was paracetamol. And a friend, not even a Christian, I have to add, literally pushed half a packet of paracetamol through my letterbox on Wednesday, because they had them, they didn't need them, and I did. They said my need was greater than theirs. That's loving your neighbour. So how are we doing on that? I said last week that the early church grew exponentially due to their willingness to love and to care for the sick and the dying in times of plague. They took in those that society discarded and behaved in a countercultural way that embodied loving their neighbours. I'm not suggesting that you intentionally put yourself in harm's way, and it's really important as well that we respect what the government asks us to do, especially when so many are not. But we can act in a countercultural way. We don't need to hoard. We don't need to adopt a my needs first attitude. We can share what we have, only buy what we need. We can be involved, we can get involved in being a good neighbour. The churches in Gillingham are working on putting together a team who are checked so that others know that we're safe, to go shopping, to run errands for those that are unable. And if you can still do that, you can sign up and get involved. Just let the office know. You can contact people, you can talk to people, as I said, you can pray with them on the phone. And you can share the hope that we have in Jesus. People are fearful of what is happening now, what will happen in the future when this pandemic ends. Knowing Jesus means that we know that there is a God who has good plans, who loves us beyond measure, that we have a hope that is eternal, not just for tomorrow. And that the picture is bigger than the one that we see on our TV screens. It's bigger than the life that we know, or even the world that we know at the moment. And so now, more than ever, we need to be engaging our heart and our heads and our hands as we demonstrate that we love God by loving our neighbours. Faith without deeds, to paraphrase the book of James, is no faith at all. And as we love our neighbours, we do demonstrate that God loves them. You know, we can't just say God loves them. They need to know it. They need to see it. Helen talked last week about asking God how he wants you to use your stick, the gifts, the resources, the abilities that you have in his service. And now really is the time to do that. So we're going to worship again now. I'm going to hand back to the live team. And as we do that, I really encourage you to ask God what he is calling you to do, who he is calling you to love, to support, to reach out to, and to plan just how you're going to do that in the coming weeks and months ahead. Bless you all.